Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Sabbath, church. I have a message to deliver to you. The first message is, in God we can do unbelievable things. When I was a child and when I was a teenager, I was too shy. And my shyness was not healthy for my spiritual life. And I decided to never say no for God, to God. I decided every time I was invited to do something for God to say yes. That's the reason I am here right now doing a thing that maybe a few months ago it was an unthinkable thing. Unbelievable thing, and I'm here by faith. I'm so glad because I have a very special friend with me, Fernando. Fernando is a Pathfinder's director of a conference in Brazil. He is here because he is going to Oshkosh. He is my best friend in life. He was in my wedding, he was in my graduation, because he was graduating too. He was when Davi was born in the hospital, the first one. The first visit we received was Fernando. In the most important moments of my life, Fernando was there. And I'm so glad, so happy because you are here today. I want to invite you to turn your Bible in Hebrews chapter 11. We will read the verse 39 until 12:2. Hebrews 11, 39 until 12:2. And all this, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive that was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have your word on our hands. Manifest the power of your Holy Spirit in us to unfold these verses. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The book of Hebrews was written to a church that was getting old, a church that was settling into the world and losing its wartime mentality and starting to drift through life without focus, without vigilance, without energy. Their hands were growing weak, their knees were feeble. And it was just easier to meander in the crowd of life than run the marathon. We can see this over and over along the trail through this book. For example, we can find in Hebrews 2, verses 1 and 3, when the writer says, we must pay much, much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So, into the church has crept the disease of drifting and neglecting. People are growing careless, spiritually lazy, and negligent, then in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, he warns again, "Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart, and fallen away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." He has heard that some of his brothers and sisters were no longer taking care. They have begun to have a kind of a lazy sense of security, a false notion that nothing really huge is at stake in their meetings, or whether they meditate on the Bible or take time alone to pray and fight sin. They assume all will be well. Hebrews is written exactly to teach them otherwise. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, the writer says, "Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." They made a profession of faith and went into a passive mode, coasting mode. And it's wrong. It is wrong for a Christian, because God means every saint to be moving forward to new gains of wisdom and strength and holiness and courage and joy, from getters to givers, from being taught to teaching. We have one more illustration in Hebrews 12, verses 12 and 13. The writer says, "Strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight path for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed." He's talking in images here of their spiritual condition: weak hands, feeble knees, crooked path. That's the condition of the church. That's the background of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. "Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." This command is the point of the whole book: endure, persevere, run, fight, be alert, be strengthened, don't drift, don't neglect, don't be sluggish, don't take your eternal security for granted. Fight the fight of faith on the basis of Christ's spectacular death and resurrection, and show your faith the way that the saints of Hebrews chapter 11 did, not by coasting through life, but counting reproach for Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So the main point of this text is the one imperative: run. Everything else in the verses that we read supports this, explains it, or gives motivation for it. Run the race set before you. Don't stroll, don't meander, don't wander about aimlessly. Run as in a race with a finish line and with everything hanging on it. To this end, verse 1 says, lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us. This text is saying that we must more than lay aside entangling sins. It says we must lay aside every encumbrance, every weight, obstacle, things maybe that in themselves are not sins. Even innocent things, but don't help us to run. This concept is revolutionary because it does, what it does, it shows for us that the fight of faith, the Christian life, the race of the Christian life, is not fought well or run well by asking, what is wrong with this or that? For sure, it's the lowest righteousness question we can make. We must ask. It is the way of greater faith and the greater love and the greater purity and the greater courage and greater humility and the greater patience and the greater self-control. Not just ask, it is a sin. We know what is a sin. But ask, does it help me to run? It is in the way. I was mightily helped by having my very categories change in the way I live my life. When I started to ask, does it help me to run the race? Does it help me run for Jesus? Hebrews 12:1 is a command for us to look at our lives. Think hard about what you are doing and get ruthless about what stays and what goes. And we have no excuse. We have no reason to say, it's just the way I am. I can't change. If we read Hebrews 12:1 in particular, it's a great mistake to say, I can't change. I want to suggest something for us. We must plan our run with Jesus. Maybe you can go somewhere by yourself without cell phone, without family, friends. Take your Bible and a pad of paper and note the entangling sins, the weights, the encumbrance that don't help you to run the race. We should do it as soon as possible. Pick a day or half day and get away alone to be with Jesus, reading the book. 1 year ago, I had to eliminate from my life one encumbrance, something that was taking my time, and I was wasting time with it. I was playing Candy Crush. Do you know Candy Crush? Candy Crush is not a sinful thing, but for me, by that time, it was an encumbrance, a weight that was take him back in the race. I'm sure God has not spoken his command for nothing. When you have note of these things, pray. Pray your way through to a resolve and a pardon to dismantling these encumbrances and resisting these sins and breaking old habits. And don't rise up against the Bible at this point and say, I can't change. It's not fair. It's not true. We can change by faith. We can. We can remove all the hindrances, all the weights that don't help us to run the race. After a prayer, share your decision with spiritual friends. If you don't have a group of spiritual friends, we should do. We should have. Sharing your decision, you can ask these people, these special people in your life, to pray for you. When you think you can't change, remember about the superiority of Christ and the power of his death and resurrection and the effectiveness of his intercession for you. Allow this truth change your life and find someone you trust and ask that person to pray for you, to support you. We need support. God wants we support one another. So, we have in this text also motivations to run. The first one we can find in verse 1, when the writer says, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us run. It is the motivation we have, the first one, a cloud of witnesses. Who are they? Do you know who are they? They are the saints that have lived and died so valiantly by faith in chapter 11. Saints like Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, of whom the world was not worthy. But what does their witnessing refer to? Does it refer to their watching us from heaven, like some people think? Or does it refer their witnessing to us by their lives? I believe in the second option. The word witness can have either meaning, the act of seeing something and the act of telling something. The verb form on this word, witness, martyrio in Greek, is used 5 times in chapter 11 and always refers to the giving of a confirming testimony rather than the mere watching of an event. So, I take the witnesses of Hebrews 12:1 to be the saints who have run the race before us and have gathered, as it were, along the marathon route to say, through the testimony of their lives, by faith, I finished. You can finish too. The best way we have to illustrate is with Hebrews 11:4, where the writer speaks of Abel and says, through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. So Abel is in the cloud of witnesses, and he is witnessing to us by his life, through the scriptures. This is the way all the witnesses of Hebrews 11 are helping us. They have gathered along the sidelines of our race, and they hold out their wounds and joys and give us the best high five we ever got. Go for it. You can do it. By faith, you can finish. You can lay the weights down and the sins. By faith, by the assurance of things, of better things hoped for, you can do it. I did it. You know, I know it can be done. Run. If you want to make a plan, to plan your run with Jesus, remember their example. They finished the race. We can do the same. The second motivation is in verses 39 and 40. It says, "And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." This is followed in 12:1 by "therefore." "Therefore" means that the verses 39 and 40 are a motivation for our running. How is it a motivation? I take verse 39 to mean that they do not receive the full blessing of God's promise, which is resurrection and new bodies in a glorious age, new age, with all God's enemies removed and righteousness holding our way and the earth filled with the glory of God. They did not receive that promise yet. Why not? The answer is given in verse 40. Because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. The history is waiting for us. The elimination of the sin is waiting for us. Because without us, God won't consume His plan. The third motivation you can find is in verse 2 of chapter 12. When you start your plan to run for Jesus, don't think you will do it using your own strength. Because the Bible says, look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Don't look to your own resource. Fix your eyes on Him, on Jesus. He will respond to you with help, because He works to author faith and prefer perfect faith. He works to begin it, and He works to complete it. Hebrews 13:21 says that God works in us what is pleasing in His sight through Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and we should know that. Behind every good resolve and plan of attack for this run, God is at work in us to will and to do His good pleasure, to sustain and perfect our faith. The last motivation we can find. We will experience the joy of triumph at the end. The verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. It's not wrong if you are motivated by the reward at the end. Jesus endured the cross for the joy set before him. We can do the same. But Jesus said to us to count the cost before we start our run. Some people think the marathon of the Christian life is mostly loss, but actually it's mainly gain. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. It is only a matter of timing. If you see things with the eyes of God, there is a vapor of breath of loss and pain, and then everlasting joy. When you take your day away with your Bible and a piece of paper to plan your run with Jesus, think on this. Think on this. The sufferings of this present age are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed to the children of God in the future. So, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with Jesus. We have a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. But I believe everyone here in this church has to a particular cloud of witnesses. Spiritual, special people who encourage you to run the race. I can remember my parents sacrificing maybe their lives to make me believe in Jesus, introducing me to Jesus. One example. My mom, she faced financial issues because she wants, I still study in our Adventist school, because she knew that will be important for me. I know sometimes my mom had to face hungry to pay for my studies. Her example, when I remember her example, I can hear she saying, run, run for Christ. I know you have special people in your life. Maybe when you were about to give up, someone appeared, sent by God, to say, don't give up. Keep running. Our confidence is in Jesus. He's the author and perfecter. When I was in my first year in the seminary, I had no money to come back to the next year, to start the second year. And I was about to give up to become a pastor. And this guy, Fernando, knew that and went to the school administration to ask a scholarship for me. And I got it. And I finished my studies to become a pastor because he made something for me. When I remember all my spiritual friends, special people, I just realized that I can't give up. God has sent to me good people to encourage me and keep me on the path of God. I know you have special people in your life. We have special people in the Bible. We can finish our race. I want to encourage you to do that. God bless you always, always. And have faith in Jesus, and we will be victorious. God bless you.